You can take your Bibles.
What?
And you can go to Proverbs 14, verse 4. Proverbs 14, 4. And tonight I'm going to be sharing a little bit about getting along with others. What God's Word says about the body of Christ and how we're to take care of one another. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4, it has a great proverb about this, and it says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." Right? And this is kind of a metaphor for people, right? The ox are the people. Where there's no people around, you don't have any people in your life, then your life is really clean and kind of simple, right? It's not messy. You don't have anybody to deal with. But it says, much increase is by the strength of the ox, right? So without people, there's not a lot of strength there in the body, right? The body of Christ, you know, us believers, we're people and we need each other, right? And when we have one another, we have strength. So sure, it's sometimes easier not to deal with people or have to get along with them, but God says that there's strength with the body, with the believers. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. And so there's three things that we can do to work with people. And the first is we can be thankful for people. We can be thankful for people. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. And the adversary continues to work in this world to get people to isolate themselves, to get people to be very content with just being alone, holed up in their homes, and no interaction with other people, right? The adversary wants it so that people aren't fellowshipping with each other, because then it means that they're likely not fellowshipping with God, right? We gather together like this to fellowship with each other and also to fellowship with God and to build our relationship together. But people are necessary. In Philippians chapter 1, it says, or verse 1, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Right? And so Paul, by revelation here, is writing that he's thankful for these people, right? He addresses them. He opens up, you know, the letter here with an address to them. And the first thing he does is thank them, right? "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you," right? And that's key, that we want to be thankful for people, especially each other in the body of Christ, in this body of believers, right? We want to be especially thankful for God's people. Because you know what? God sure is thankful. He's sure thankful for you, right? So we can be thankful for each other. Go to Romans chapter 12. Right? God looks at you and he's thankful. We should look at each other and be thankful too. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Right? We're to prefer one another. We're to look for, you know, the good in people and to prefer to be with the believers. Right? "Be kindly affectioned one to another." That our affection is for each other. Right? And part of that is being thankful. I'm very thankful for who you are. And we'll look at the context of this in verse 4. Verse 4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Right? So again, the analogy is like, you have your body and you have all these different members, these body parts, and they don't all have the same function, right? I walk on my feet, I lift things with my hands, I smell with my nose, right? One might say your nose runs and your feet smell. But we all have a function in the body, right? Each one of our body parts serves a function. And the analogy here is that each one of us is a part of the body of Christ, and each one of us has a function. And verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And that gifts is like the things that you're good at, the things that you excel in. Everybody has something different that God gave them by His grace. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches, on teaching. Or he that exhorts, which is encouraging, on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth or leads, with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Right? So whatever your long suit is, God's saying, you know, practice that, do that. And we can all be thankful that there are people who are good at those things, right? Because we're not all good at everything, right? I'm not the nose, right? My function is not to smell, right? But I might be the feet. My function is to walk, right? And that's the analogy, right? I sit here and I teach you guys every week. That's something I'm good at. But I'm not really good at a lot of other things that you guys are. And so that's how we kind of all work together. Verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Right? So again, we're to prefer each other. We'll be thankful for the things that we are really, really good at in the body and how we contribute. Right? I'm really thankful for the people who speak in tongues a lot and who pray a lot. I'm really, really thankful for the people who put together events and organize things, right? Because that's stuff that I'm, you know, I can do, but I'm not great at it. So we can just be thankful and prefer being a part of this great body of Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that means that when you find out what you're really good at, you should do it really well too, because lots and lots of people are going to get blessed because of how you contribute. When we're all working together in our place in the body, it really pleases God. We're all functioning the way we're supposed to. 1 Corinthians 12:18. God carries this analogy in 1 Corinthians as well, but it says, but now hath God set the members, you and I, every one of them in the body of Christ, as it has pleased who?
Him.
Which means that whatever you're good at, whatever your function is, that's something that pleases God. He set you here. He called you forth from before the foundations of the world to be His kids. Right? It blessed Him that you're here and that you believed. And that you're a son of God. So your function really makes God happy, which means that we can all be really thankful for whatever that is. Everyone has a place. Everyone has a strong suit. And everyone is necessary in the body of Christ. And that's something that we can be thankful for. The second thing that we can do to help us work with people is to forgive. Go to Matthew chapter 18. So we can be thankful for people, for what they contribute, and for how important they are to the body and to God. And we can forgive each other, which is really important. Matthew 18:21. So when you're going to deal with people, that crib is going to get messy, right? Remember it said that where no oxen are, the crib is what? Clean. You don't have to do anything. It's already clean. But if you're going to work with people, you're going to deal with people, you're going to fellowship with people, sometimes stuff gets messy, right? And so we'll need to forgive. Matthew 18, verse 21 says, Then came Peter unto him, unto Jesus Christ, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? How often is, you know, my brother, this guy who I do love, is going to do something to me that's going to make me mad or make me angry, tick me off? How many times do I have to forgive him? Seven times? And Jesus Christ says in verse 22, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, not just seven, but until 70 times seven, right? 70 times seven. And that's, you know, an expression. It's not to be taken literally. Don't start counting. And when you get to 490, then you can be mad. It just means you keep on forgiving them. You keep on forgiving them, right? Just keep forgiving. Always forgive. Always forgive. It should be a habit, right? People who love you are going to disappoint you. They're going to upset you. But you just keep forgiving them. You just keep forgiving them. Go to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And to illustrate how important this is, because it's very important to God, right? God has forgiven us for so much. He wants us to forgive each other. And even in the Christ administration, Jesus Christ taught that we're supposed to forgive a lot. But in that administration, we don't live in that administration, but in that administration, it says in Mark 11, 24, before the grace administration, it said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught, if you have something against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Right? So the context here was actually in asking God for stuff, in praying to God, making requests for him in that administration. But they said, make sure that you forgive. Right? Don't come to God with a request and be really angry at somebody else for something and holding on to something. It says in verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses, right? That's pretty big. And that's a different administration, right? We live in the grace administration now where we are forgiven no matter what. But to God, that's how important it was. We can learn from that administration and see how important it was to God that we forgive each other, right? God made a big deal about it. Said, if you're going to come ask me for something, make sure that you forgive it and that you're not angry, that you're not holding on to stuff. Right? And God today still hears us and still always forgives us no matter what. But that's how important it is to God. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4:32. Because in this administration, as sons and daughters of God, we stand before God perfect, no matter what we've done. Right? That's the way that God sees us. Ephesians 4:32. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, holding grudges all the time. Now, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has what? Forgiven you. Has. It's past tense. He's already forgiven you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you do, God has forgiven you. Right? Because you're a son or daughter of God. But God wants us to do the same for each other, to be kind, to be tender-hearted, and to forgive each other just like God's forgiven you. And it's easy to forgive someone else when you stop and you think about all that God's forgiven you for, right? We know best just how crummy we can be sometimes, but God forgave us, right? And if God forgave you, then certainly you can forgive somebody else. And we forgive because we love. Colossians 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Colossians 3:12 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies." These are things we're supposed to put on, right, to do in our lives. Bowels of mercies, just an abundance of mercy with each other. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, which is to be really patient, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So again, we're supposed to forgive one another. And then verse 14 says, and above all these things, those are really good things, right? Be very merciful, be very kind, be very forgiving. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the love of God, right? Put on that love of God, which is the bond of what? Perfectness, right? So that brings me to the third thing that we can do when we work with people, and that's to love, right? Above all these things, we're to love each other. It's the bond of perfectness. It's what keeps this whole thing glued together, is the love of God. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. All right, so we're supposed to love. God's called us to love each other. And in 1 John 3:11, it says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should what? Love one another." Love one another. Right? This is the message from the very beginning, that we should love one another. You should do it. God is telling you in His Word, that's what you should do. Love each other. In chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." Right? Love came from God. He invented love. And He wants us to love each other. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God, right? To truly love with the love of God, you have to know God and you have to be born of God, right? You have to be a son or daughter of God. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love," which means this is true love. This is what love is really about. Not that we loved God, right? It's not that we did it first, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, if He loved us that deeply to give His only begotten Son's life for us, we ought also to love one another, right? It's just right that we do the same, right? And the love of God has substance, right? It has substance. There's action behind it. God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, right? He took action and He gave the life of His Son for us, right? There's meat and there's substance behind that love. And He wants us to love each other that way. And then, same chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God loves his brother also," right? And so when we deal with people, we always deal with it with love, right? Love takes care of everything else. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. The Gospel of John, 13. Right? Love is what really takes care of people. When you love people, you will forgive them. When you love people, you are thankful for them. When you love people, you'll give and you'll take action for them. And it's really healing and it takes care of their lives. In John 13, verse 34, this is Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Right? So you'll get noticed by your love. Right? When you're really loving, people take notice of that, especially today, right? Like, how much love is there really out there? Right? I mean, people are just craving love, for people to really care about them, for people to really take an interest in their lives. Right? So you'll get noticed by that love. Right? Your love is what's going to speak to other people. Right? They'll see the love that you have for them before they ever really hear what you have to tell them about God or Jesus Christ or getting saved or anything else. They'll notice the way that you love them and care about them. That's what they'll notice first. 1 Peter chapter 4. And that's because it's of God, right? It's refreshing. It's something so, you know, foreign to everybody in the world who doesn't know God that when it comes around from somebody, they're like, whoa, this is incredible. This is what it's like to really be loved. And at the end of the day, it's something that everybody does crave and does want. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. It says, and above all things, and above how many things? All things. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And we know that charity is the love of God. Fervent is like a white hot, right? Have a white hot love for each other above all things. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins, right? When you really love each other and take care of each other, it covers for everything else. That crib might not be clean because you got a lot of oxen running around in there, but if you got love, it just covers for all of it, right? All those sins, all that junk, it doesn't end up mattering because you're walking with that love of God. It covers for all of that stuff. Go to Philippians chapter 4. So when you really love somebody, you'll forgive them. You'll be thankful for them. And it's so much easier to deal with people when you're thankful, when you're forgiving, and when you love them. Because people do get messy, and that's okay. Right? God loves us, and he wants us to love one another. And Philippians, we know, is a reproof epistle. The words that are in Philippians are reproof to the church, right? To help them to get back to the right way of believing, right? So, reproof, right? But in the context of reproof, it says in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and what? Longed for. My joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Right? So, in a reproof epistle, an epistle meant to, you know, get people back on track for screwing up, he addresses them as his dearly beloved, his joy and his crown. Right? Because people are going to mess up. It happens. But we can't start looking at people like they're screwed up the first moment they do something wrong. Right? We got to look at them with great love and great compassion and great kindness. Right? As your joy, as your crown. You know, something you're just so proud of to display. Right? The love and the relationship that you have with each other. Right? That's the way that we can deal with people and handle them. And again, for those who don't know the word, or don't know God, that's what they see first, is the love that you have for them, you know, despite who they are, right? They'll come around and think, no one's ever really cared about me this way or loved me this way. That's what really shows. So we're going to close where we started in Proverbs 14:4. Proverbs 14:4. So the way that God wants us to treat each other and to work with each other is to be thankful for each other, to forgive each other, and to have great love for one another. And in Proverbs 14:4, help if I'm there, it says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox," right? So the adversary wants it so that we're all comfortable, all alone, all by ourselves, never having to deal with anybody. But there's no strength in that, right? The strength comes from being together, fellowshipping together, and being a part of this body. So as we love one another, right, we'll have great strength in doing so.